Eclipse announces approval of funding for its Russian plant. ATA says oil speculators are back. And Congress will pass yet another temporary extension for the FAA. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, September 24th, 2008. Eclipse Aviation has confirmed that the Russian state bank, Vnešen Ekonombank Supervisory Board, or VEB, chaired by Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin himself, has approved the construction of a factory in Ulyanovsk, Russia, to assemble the Eclipse 500. VEB announced that it expects to fully finance the $205 million project. VEB and the Ulyanovsk Region Administration will be among the shareholders in the enterprise. Production is scheduled to begin in 2010 and eventually reach 800 jets per year. Eclipse CEO Roel Pieper noted, quote, VEB's decision to support the Eclipse 500 at this level illustrates the strength of the global demand for this amazing jet. Obtaining this approval and financing is an enormous step forward in our efforts to globalize the Eclipse 500 and create a highly competitive worldwide business model for Eclipse Aviation, unquote. Perhaps anticipating the raised neck hairs which result in Albuquerque from the ambitious Russian production quota and talk of a worldwide business model, the company took pains to stress that production at Eclipse's U.S. headquarters in New Mexico will continue in full prior to and following the start of the Russian facility's operations. The Air Transport Association reacted Monday to oil's largest one-day price gain in NYMEX history, saying it reaffirms that speculation is playing a significant role in driving up the price. ATA President and CEO James May offered this analysis, quote, the market's extreme volatility suggests that speculators, who withdrew tens of billions of dollars from the commodities markets when Congress threatened to tighten oversight of excessive and harmful speculation, breathed a sigh of relief last week when the action in the Senate seemed unlikely and returned to the energy markets in full force. Well, speculators are back and the prices are up, unquote. May again called for a bipartisan approach to reining in excessive energy speculation, saying Congress must pass a comprehensive energy plan or all Americans will pay the price as oil prices return to or exceed this summer's record levels. ATA airline members and their affiliates transport more than 90% of all U.S. airline passenger and cargo traffic. Well, any hopes of getting the FAA a full-term authorization before next year are officially toast. The House passed a short-term FAA extension yesterday that would allow the agency to continue to collect and spend tax revenue to keep the U.S. aviation system functioning through March 31st of next year. A separate stopgap spending bill would already extend FAA authorization temporarily through March 6th. Both measures are waiting for Senate approval. It's not clear which measure that body will move forward. The March 31st extension passed by a voice vote and will give the new administration and Congress just 6 months to come to agreement on a funding mechanism for building NextGen before yet another federal fiscal year passes. Aero News has confirmed one fatality in the crash of a Piper PA-32-300 Saratoga north of Atlanta yesterday afternoon. WSB Radio reports that the aircraft had just taken off from DeKalb Peachtree Airport when it went down about 2 p.m., FAA spokeswoman Kathleen Bergen told the Associated Press the aircraft was en route to Coldwater, Michigan. Reports from the scene indicate the plane crashed in a neighborhood near I-285, the Atlanta Metro's outer loop, about 3 miles from the airport. Wreckage can be seen in the yard of a home. An NTSB investigator told WSB a Mayday call was received from the accident aircraft just before the crash, and it appears the pilot was attempting to return to the airport. The aircraft was registered to Women's Medicine Incorporated of Jacksonville, Florida. Watch for further updates on our website at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, Delta and Northwest march on toward their merger. Union machinists are still trying to convince shareholders to vote no. And NATCA says FAA understaffing is adding to post-hurricane stress along the Gulf. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 24th. I'm Paul Plagg. Delta and Northwest Airlines have checked off another big box on their to-do list in preparation for a merger. The Detroit News reports the FAA has given the two carriers its blessing to combine operations within the next 15 to 18 months. The two big remaining hurdles are approval from shareholders of both companies, which is expected tomorrow, and a sign-off from the U.S. Department of Justice that's anticipated in the fourth quarter sometime. If those approvals are received, Northwest shareholders will get 1.25 shares in the new Delta for each share of Northwest stock they own now. Northwest will disappear as a separate entity, and Delta will become the biggest airline in the world, with major hubs in Detroit, Atlanta, Memphis, Cincinnati, Minneapolis-St. Paul, Salt Lake City, New York, Amsterdam, and Tokyo. Speaking of FAA approval, Northwest Senior VP Ken Highlander commented, quote, "Our ultimate goal is to implement a seamless transition for our customers, and this is a big step toward that end," unquote. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports the Delta shareholders will meet tomorrow at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, while Northwest's meeting will be held at the AXA Equitable Center in New York. Observers said they expected the vote to be a rubber stamp approval of the merger after four proxy advisory firms all recommended yes votes. Airline consultant Daryl Jenkins tells the paper the volatile economy makes a stronger argument for the merger. Quote, "There's some strength in being large, especially when you're kind of completing Delta's network. Northwest is a very good fit to Delta, probably one of the better fits we've ever seen," unquote. He adds that maximizing the benefits of the merger could take a year or two. Another big vote at Delta's meeting will be a new employee compensation plan, which allocates 15% of stock to employees. Pilots for both airlines have already accepted their end of that deal. Among the few remaining voices of dissent is the International Association of Machinists. The union has urged a no vote by stockholders, calling the merger risky and noting the combined airline will have a total pension fund deficit of $7 billion. The IAM will lead picketers outside both shareholder meetings tomorrow. The latest opportunity for the National Air Traffic Controllers Association to criticize the FAA is the hurricane-stricken Lake Charles area of Louisiana. NATCA says the stresses of dealing with hurricane damage are being exacerbated by understaffing by the FAA. NATCA claims flight operations into Lake Charles have tripled due to helicopter traffic displaced from southeast Texas and other areas impacted by Hurricane Ike. NATCA says the facility normally hands off its airspace to Houston Air Route Traffic Control Center after 10 p.m., but says the tower was forced to do that early last Wednesday due to short staffing. The union says that shortly before the FAA imposed work rules on the nation's controller workforce back in September 2006, the facility was operating with 14 certified professional controllers. Now the union says there are only six, and they're working six-day weeks and are outnumbered by the facility's seven trainees, none of whom are close to reaching full certification. One of the certified controllers is eligible to retire, and another due to transfer in January. NATCA says the facility will be even more short-staffed. Lake Charles Union Facility Representative Oscar Carrizales commented, quote, "We have enough trouble training the new hires that we have now. I don't know what we'll do when we get more," unquote. The wreckage of a Piper Cherokee that went missing in 2001 has been discovered in California by San Bernardino County Sheriff's deputies on routine patrol. The Victorville Daily Press reports that debris found near Lytle Creek by the crew of a helicopter patrol was confirmed to be from N8253W, a PA-28 that was rented to 24-year-old Daniel Katz of Mexico City. Katz departed Paris Airport in Riverside for a trip to Brackett Airport in Luverne on June 3, 2001, and never got there. He's thought to have been alone. The plane reportedly crashed onto very steep terrain at about 5,700 feet on the north-facing slope east of Cucamonga Peak. State and county officials and the Civil Air Patrol searched for 17 days after the plane went missing, but couldn't spot the brown and tan Piper in the surrounding terrain. Skeletal human remains have been found within 400 feet of the crash site. They'll undergo identity testing by the coroner. Still ahead, tax dollars to airlines, but no passengers' bill of rights. Ed Boland says GA is on board with NextGen. And the father of the Viking lander has gone west. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, September 24th. I'm Paul Platt. As Congress prepares to rush through an extension of the FAA's temporary authorization and funding to beat the end of the fiscal year next week, the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights is working to bring constituent pressure on lawmakers to look after the interests of airline passengers. Kate Hanai of FlyersRights.org says the airlines appear poised to receive $500 million in war insurance guarantees paid by tax dollars, but the legislation fails to affect an airline passenger's bill of rights. Quote, the airlines spent $16 million this year alone on lobbying. It's beginning to appear they got their money's worth. Maybe if more members of Congress rode in coach with the rest of us, instead of flying in first class or on corporate jets, they'd be more compassionate. In the meantime, we'll make sure their constituents know how they're giving their airline donors big bucks while passengers get bumped, unquote. The coalition claims to be the largest nonprofit airline passengers' rights organization in the world, with 24,000 members. National Business Aviation Association President Ed Boland told an aviation industry forum last week, quote, there is a lot of talk about aviation system modernization and how to get it done. But for it to be fully funded and implemented, government and industry leaders must continue promoting its benefits and value, unquote. He reiterated the support of the general aviation community for NextGen and said it will enhance the system's capacity, safety, and efficiency. The occasion was a panel discussion held by the Air Traffic Control Association. Also participating were Jim May, president of the Air Transport Association, Phil Boyer, president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, and Kevin Brown, VP of Air Traffic Management for Boeing. Boland noted that the capacity gains produced by a satellite-based ATC system would be a great help to GA pilots because they're the first to be pushed out of airports by congestion. He pointed to gains that would be made in fuel efficiency, the chance to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and the need to ensure that the U.S. continues to have the largest, safest, and most efficient system in the world. Ed Boland, by the way, is our guest on today's Aero News special feature. ANN notes with affection the passing of Israel Tabak on August 30th. Project scientist Jerry Soffin called Tabak the father of the Mars Viking lander. Tabak noted, quote, remember, there were over 150 Martin people and over 150 Langley people involved, all talented, outstanding people. It didn't need a father. More of a godfather, unquote. Tabak dated to the days when Langley was still the NACA laboratory and helped to shepherd the X-15's instrumentation through its supersonic flights. He carried the role through the transition to NASA when he was chief engineer of one of the first of the new agency's projects, the Lunar Orbiter, which still ranks among NASA's most successful missions. 5 lunar orbiters circled the moon. 3 of them took pictures of places where Apollo could land, and 2 mapped 99% of the lunar surface. Then, Tabak went on to oversee the building of the Mars Viking lander. Tom Young, who also worked on the project before becoming director at the Goddard Space Flight Center and later an aerospace industry executive, said of his mentor, quote, "It's hard to imagine what a special thing it is for a young engineer to have that opportunity. Is it's clearly the best systems engineer I've ever known," unquote. When Tabak passed away, he was 88 years old and still tackling challenges. He left behind pages of penciled notes, sketches, and engineering formulas related to a car rack for his new adult tricycle. And finally, I'm telling you, Energizer needs to use these guys in its Keeps On Going TV commercials. NASA says its Mars rover, Opportunity, is getting set for a road trip. It's going to travel to a crater that's more than 20 times larger than its home for the past 2 years. To reach the crater, the rover team calls Endeavour, the bot will need to crawl about 7 miles to the southeast. That matches the total distance it's traveled since landing on Mars in early 2004. Opportunity and its twin, Spirit, were originally sent to Mars for a 90-day mission. They've now been working for over 4 years. They're getting a little arthritic, and they're wearing out their drivetrains, but both are still providing thrilling opportunities for the scientists on Earth who control them. Steve Squires of Cornell University, principal investigator for the science instruments on the rovers, says Opportunity may not be up to completing the journey to the crater Endeavour, which is 13.7 miles across, but he says it's the right thing to try. Quote, "This crater is staggeringly large compared to anything we've seen before," unquote. Scientists expect to find a much deeper stack of rock layers than those examined by Opportunity in Victoria Crater. At 110 yards per day, the rover could take 2 years to make the trip, but at least it'll have some backup for its latest mission. The high-resolution imaging science experiment camera on NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, which arrived 2 years after the rover's, has enough resolution to look for obstacles from above. Combined with better control software uplinked to the rovers in 2006, scientists like Opportunity's odds in reaching the crater Endeavour. I just like the story of a government project that turned out to be a good value. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, National Business Aviation Association President Ed Bolin gives ANN's Jim Campbell a briefing 2 weeks out from the NBAA annual show and convention in Orlando. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Flack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.